Log Talk Radio.
And good evening. My name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder. And we, Ione McMillan myself, want to welcome you to another episode of, yes, hashtag My Investing Story. Better Investing is a not-for-profit 501c3 organization. And we are volunteers with this phenomenal, phenomenal organization. And the organization was founded and established in 1951 as the National Association of Investors. And in all of these years, as volunteers, the organization has helped over 5 million individual investors learn how to improve, I will say, our financial future with unbiased investment tools. We are not stockbrokers. We're not day traders. We're simply volunteers coming to volunteer to help encourage and inspire others to also learn and take responsibility of your financial future. And every single week, we are very excited to bring to you another episode and another story. Today, Cheryl Patterson is our special guest, and she's going to share her hashtag My Investing Story. So I want to just make sure we encourage you to comment, like, and share the show. Comment, like, and share the show. You have time to share the show with your friends and your family because you really want to hear Cheryl's story. Cheryl learned about better investing in 2007 at a time when she needed something to divert her attention during her non-working hours. She's going to get into that story tonight, but she has been involved with the chapter since that time, and we want to thank you, Cheryl, in advance for being as involved as you have been all of these years. She stayed with the chapter but didn't join another investment club until the chapter she was with decided to take on a virtual club. So she's going to share that story tonight. So we want to thank you, Cheryl, for joining us tonight. And I'm going to turn the program over to Ione, and she's going to start her inquiries into your story. Welcome, Ione.
Thank you. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ione. How about yourself?
Good, good. So I'm excited to have you on, number one, as actually number two as a Better Investing member, but number one as a chapter director for the D.C. chapter, D.C. regional chapter of Better Investing. I love the programming and the event, educational events that the D.C. chapter puts on. And are you currently just a chapter volunteer and director, or do you actually hold an officer position?
Well, I was the president of the chapter for about 4 years, and another person took my place for this past, but I'm still on as kind of the president emeritus, as well as an executive director, kind of helping with programs and keeping things moving.
Okay, before we get into your personal story, talk to us a little bit about that wonderful D.C. regional chapter celebrating club anniversaries, because that was such a unique program that the chapter hosted. And I kind of want to give people a sense of the quality of educational and also recognition opportunities that the chapter provides to better investing investment club and members.
Well, it's a program that we've been running every year for as long as I can remember. We invite clubs that have anniversaries in multiples of five. So 5, 10, 15, 20, and so on, to come and tell us their story How are they doing this for any long period of time? How have they been able to keep members, or are they, you know, searching for members, and how are they doing that? What do they feel have been their strengths in terms of stocks and things? How has that proceeded through the years that the club has been going on? How do they get stock ideas, and what are they looking at currently? Because everybody at every event that we've ever held wants a stock tip. They want an idea to walk away with, and we try to provide that as well. So that's
you are
entertaining
muted.
As well as providing knowledge and experience of how clubs are doing.
And have you found that by doing that type of event for as long as you have has actually helped club support and engagement?
It has, but we've also tried to reach out to these clubs to do director club visits. And so that's just another avenue to get the names of clubs to try and do that with, to see if there are some specific ways the chapter can help them.
And so far, what has been probably the most commonly asked question or request for assistance when you do club visits, or when investment clubs reach out to the chapter and say, hey, I need help, or yes, you can come? What's kind of been, because I'm interested in your perspective almost
right.
as an auditor of the maybe a key question or the key things that most investment clubs struggle with.
Making judgments, I would say, was number one on the list. There's still an air of mystery about that. And I think also maybe a fear of, you know, am I doing this right? You know, help me to understand if I'm doing it wrong or right. And number two would be, when do I sell a stock? People get involved, you know, especially if you're a long-term stock watcher, that becomes like your baby. And you want to make it thrive and make it grow and do well amongst all the other babies. And so that you can say, oh, that's mine. And you become very emotionally attached to them. And, you know, they're investments. They're not your kids. You know, they're things that you're investing in. And if they're not doing well, then maybe you need to think about selling them. Or if there's another stock that you can take in that would make your portfolio better, that's another reason. But people are very hesitant about selling.
So let's get to your story.
Okay.
Was money talked about in your home growing up as a kid, or was it something you just kind of learned through osmosis?
No. My dad died when I was very young, and so we really didn't have money. We really struggled, and at some point had to go on the dole through the state, and I hated that. I hated the questions that they asked, personal questions, and, you know, not being able to have something last, you know, through the period that they said it was supposed to last through, and having other people have control over you, really. I mean, that is what it comes down to. And that taught me, you know, kind of the importance of it and the importance of being able to, you know, have an occupation, have a job that would get me to enough money to have control over my life and my decisions.
Wow. I'm always struck by people who had very decisive moments in their childhood about money, especially like, I don't ever want to be on, you know, public assistance again, or I watch, you know, my parents just spend and never have enough, or because those are formative moments that allow for other decision-making. So with that kind of fundamental drive, when did you even find out about investing? Because many people may know about saving, but it may be a long time before they find out about investing.
Well, besides getting into better investing, before that, I started working for the government employee, and came up with this program called Thrift Savings Plan, or TSP for short. And it was something that was not difficult to do. You could put in for a certain percentage of whatever your earnings was, so you determined what went into it. And it also became tax-deferred money. It was money that came out of your paycheck before taxes were applied, so that was an added benefit. And you could also decide, as they added programs to it, where you wanted that money to be invested in. So it behooved you to kind of know a little bit about things like they had the government base program, which means there was very little risk involved. You were always going to get your money, but interest was very low. And then you could go to higher risk and higher risk and hope that your money grew. But I also had it through some big drops in the market. And so I saw how you really needed to have tighter control rather than just an index fund that followed a base. And so that's when I really started to think about other ways of doing things.
And was this your first job? About how old were you?
No, it wasn't my very first job. I went through college, and I was in my middle 20s, I guess.
And at that time, which path within the thrift plan did you choose to go down?
Oh, I started with safety. Because, again, that goes back to my background that we talked about.
Right.
You don't want to lose it.
Exactly. At that time, you don't know anything about time value of money or even averaging out the risk over a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. None of that. So at least, though, you did start in the thrift plan.
Right.
And so when did you, or how long did it take you to find out about better investing?
That was in 2007. So it was about 20 years later, maybe 15 years later. And I went to a class. I happened to see an ad in a library calendar, and there was a class being offered, and I went to the class and kind of got hooked.
And so you didn't leave ever since, huh? You just kind of continued to come to classes. And then how long before you decided that you were comfortable enough to volunteer?
Well, I guess it maybe was about 5 years in when I started looking for things to volunteer in. There were a lot of people in the chapter at that time, and so jobs were pretty much set and doled out. And I really didn't know a lot still. I was still in the learning phase. And just trying to find my footing, but getting into a lot of information and places to learn about.
I know that for many new Better Investing members, it's always a weariness. I can't volunteer because I don't know enough. What gave you the courage, even 5 years in, to say, yeah, I can volunteer, even though I know I'm still learning. I want to serve.
Well, I saw a place where I could help out and carve something and make it my own, and I think that helps a lot. If you can find a place that you're comfortable and you know, have – I don't think it takes courage, but I think the bravery to kind of voice your opinion to other people that have been there for a lot longer and just say to them, you know, here's something that I think we ought to look into.
So take us back to those early classes that you attended. What were some of the things, in a sense, step by step, that you started to learn that began to demystify investing and help you become more comfortable with the concept and even doing it?
Well, first of all, getting at that time, there was a thing called Toolkit that you could, a program that you just put on your computer, you're added it to your computer, and playing with that. And, you know, I could take any stock I wanted to and just put it through the computer. And you, that's really the thing that hooked me was that, you know, oh, there's no danger here. There's no risk. Just keep running things through till you find something you're really interested in that, that comes out saying it's a strong buy. And then maybe take it and put a little bit of money and see how that goes and add to your position when the prices come down, that kind of thing. And so, you know, a lot of, you know, times you're hesitant to get into something because sometimes people want a big chunk of money to start an investment. And here's something where it was just little pieces of money. I invested, my first big investment was I was in a drip fund with Dominion Energy, which is the energy company here in Virginia, Northern Virginia. And that has done fantastic. It's just taken off, just living off of the money for the dividends and having it just keep growing, growing, growing.
How long were you investing before you really were able to the effect of compound interest? Do you kind of remember that point where it was like, whoa, this stuff is adding up?
It was really just keeping spreadsheets on things. That's the big thing that working for the Department of Defense teach you is how to do spreadsheets and PowerPoints. your government money at work. But you know, just keeping track of that and seeing where things were going. And yes, not everything went up, but it gets back to that, the power of five, you know, that two are going to do what you, three are going to do what you think they're going to do, and one does much better and one doesn't. So it really, I could really see the numbers adding up, and it made me feel good when I saw how that was doing. Much better than looking at my savings passbook.
So, you know, in your 20s, you're saving in your retirement plan, and then within 15 years, you're joining DI. When did you start to feel comfortable enough to manage your own retirement? I'm guessing that you did. You did.
Yes.
But when was that point for you? Because everything is a progression, but I think – you know, just kind of talking in terms of timelines or even ages. I don't always ask ages for women. but it does give people a sense and a perspective of time and helps to instill a level of patience, but also lets them know that this is doable, even if you are starting like, I don't know anything about this, and this is only for wealthy people.
Right. Well, what happened was I got opened up some IRAs, some individual retirement accounts, aside from the one from work, and they just did nothing. They went nowhere fast, and I was really thinking, well, I can do better than this. And so I took that money, and I just rolled it over instead of taking it out. I rolled it over into an IRA that I had control of, where I could buy stocks that I wanted to buy and watch and sell when I wanted to sell them, and it wasn't at somebody else's control.
And was that like 5 years after being in BI, 10 years after being in BI?
It was probably five.
So around the same time, you was like, you know what? I can speak up to volunteer. I'm going to also take control of this retirement thing. Now, are you currently retired?
Yes.
And you have been for how long?
Since 2017. That's about 4 years.
So did you end up retiring early?
No, no.
Okay.
I 35 years in retirement because I was in what they call the old retirement system. And so the longer you stayed on, it added up 2% for each year you stayed on past your 30 years. So I took advantage of that too.
How has being a member of VI helped with your planning for retirement? Because I think that many people that join VI, especially in the past, have been around the 5 to 10 years out from retirement, and they're just now kind of waking up like, wait a minute, this is not as much money as I thought I was going to have. These people aren't doing what I thought they were doing. I can do better, or at least I need to know better. Yeah, because right now there's so much that's involved in retirement. I mean, you have Social Security, you have health care, you have a 401k and probably an IRA. How has VI, just in terms of being a member of VI and the resources available and the community of people available, helped you to proactively plan retirement as opposed to just turning to a certain age and then waiting for somebody to send you whatever you feel like you're due?
Well, it's made it so I don't have to touch my TSP. My TSP is still sitting and chugging along and doing its thing, and I can move the money around within the different parts of it because I'm only 5% in that safe account that we talked about before. The rest of it's spread out in the other accounts. But it's enabled me to feel comfortable, to feel that I can retire and that it wasn't going to be a problem. And not only that, but I can still help my children and my grandchildren and get them involved in this too. Because as I tell my son, I says, you know, it's come a time I won't be able to do that portfolio. It's going to be yours to take over and take control. So getting him started on that as well.
Wow. What are some of the things that you're doing with your, I'm sure, adult son and even grandchildren, exposing them to investing? I'm sure you're not pushy about it, but I'm also sure that you're sharing with them the benefits of starting early and, you know, the possibilities.
Definitely. And I think the biggest thing is my son has commented that, you know, I've seen what you've done with this, Mom. I've seen how you have grown something now that includes the family and how you've been able to accomplish what you've accomplished. And so he has, you know, come to me and said, oh, Mom, you know, I'm looking at this. What do you think about it? And, you know, or just gone ahead and jumped into some things. And, you know, learn the lesson of, you know, it either does or it doesn't, and that's okay. Those are, as a good friend of mine says, those are dues that we have to pay when they don't do as well. My grandchildren are, the oldest one's 3 and the youngest one's 1, so they're still a little bit early to get started on that. But I was talking to my son about it, and I said, when they get a little bit older, you know, I'll start out getting drips of stocks that they recognize that they would be able to have a rapport with, you know, like Disney or, you know, some Nickelodeon or something like that, that they would understand, you know, here's a company that I really like and, oh, I'm going to own a part of it.
That leads me to my next question is, as an investor, how has being an investor shaped your worldview of money and also the financial vision that you may have or have developed over time for your family?
Well, again, it goes back to making sure that they're in a situation where they have control of their lives, that they don't have to rely on something outside of their control to keep them moving forward. And it's making sure that there is something besides a salary and income that they can rely on as well not only for long-term things, but for short-term as well, for taking vacation or buying a new car or sending the kids off to a good school. These are ways to help make those reality, those dreams become reality.
Now, you joined BI a while ago and you know, you slowly made your way to start learning about investing. When did you join an investment club and why? And how important and impactful has it been on your investment journey?
Well, the DC chapter has a model club that we started back in 2008. It was set up with a number of the chapter directors as our beginning people, for, members. And now it's grown substantially. We were on a virtual call with a meeting several months ago, and I was like, oh, let's stop the meeting for a minute. Everybody get your virtual confetti and throw it up in the air, because we just passed our $100,000 mark on our market value.
Wow.
Of our portfolio. So, you know, it's little victories like that. And I've seen that club grow quite a bit and develop, and people have come and gone, and new members come in, and it's worked out really great. We've even, you know, done even, I would say, better in certain aspects with the last 2 years of everything being virtual. We've been able to do some things more successfully than we had trying to get people through the traffic here in the D.C. area to a meeting. It can be
discouraging at the very least. That beltway is nothing to play with.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So people trying to get out of work and get over to a live meeting can be frustrating at best. About 4 or 5 years ago, I joined a second club with three other directors that I had always said, if I was going to be in a club, these are the people I would be in a club with, not to disdain the model club, because I enjoy all the members in that club. But these three people, I mean, we're just really driven and just very serious about this matter of investing, and have done very well with it. So
you've been a member of the model club for how long?
Since its inception in 2008. I was one of the founding members.
Wow. So you joined BI in 2007 and then shortly thereafter joined the model club. So most of your investing experience with BI has also been from the perspective of a club member.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And why are, from your perspective, why are clubs so important, investment clubs?
Well, number one, because we're all pooling our money. You can make things happen much faster. People are only giving $30 a month. You've got 10, 15, 20 people, that starts adding up very quickly to actually be able to go and invest in stocks. You've got people with different ideas and different ways of looking at investing that are all, you know, having a vote. It's one person, one vote. And so it makes it very equal. Each person is an equal member. And you feel like you get somewhere faster. And it's all the pressure is not on you to do all the work. You can separate the work out, make, you know, different people, different stock watchers, and doing different jobs within the club. And it works well.
Do you have any best practices, either from your model club or your second club, that you may want to share? I'm in a model club, so I'm selfishly trying to if I could get a little bit better. We're a new club. We're not even a year old yet.
Oh, goodness.
But it has been so fun, and most of us are beginner investors. Most of us are also new to BI. So I'm actually enjoying how slow we've been going because you know, it wasn't started with a lot of old chapter directors. It was started with a lot of new chapter directors
mm-hmm.
who are learning. So it's been good. But
we're
I'm
learning
always,
together.
We are learning together. Yeah, we are learning together. And but, yeah, it's the difference between being, in a sense, all on the same playing field as opposed to being a model club that's kind of structured perfectly and all, everybody already knows how to do the SSG and everybody even knows how to do a PERT. You know, most of the people in my club, I don't even know what a PERT is. Out of 21 people, I think only two people know what a PERT is, and maybe one of us know how to do one. But
I'll have to come and visit your club and do. I have a PERT presentation. Yes,
we may have to bring you in like year two. I don't
make that one more, Ione.
You know what? Oh yeah, she knows what a PERT is. but she's with me. We don't know how to do one. Okay, so 3 out of 41. but yes, okay, we'll bring you. You know, we had on Saturday in our meeting, we had Bob Shaw. I always call him Robert Shaw. But we had Bob Shaw out of the Southeast Michigan chapter. He did a wonderful presentation. His club, the Classic Strategy Investment Club, they have this one-page worksheet
uh-huh.
that organizes all the analyst data. Have you seen it?
It is.
He presented on it. I was like, wow. So that's going to be my new kind of thing this month to test out because I know I have like to do an SSG and a first cut for some other stuff. But, yeah, just kind of tell us some, you know, best practices or just probably, you know, interesting tips and tricks that you've kind of picked up or even honed over the years in an investment club.
Well, we have a really good report, quarterly report page that where we try to get the main things on there, because the hardest thing to get through a meeting is everybody giving their quarterly reports. There are some people that make it a life story, and there are some people that, you know, they go through it so quickly and so fast that you're just like, what just happened here? what did they say? And try to put the key information on there. But the most important thing to look at is, okay, we've done the SSG. We know they're a quality company, and we've gotten them when they're on sale. But what's the future? How are they going to maintain that? And that, for me, is the aha moment, is delving into places like Value Line and CFRA and Morningstar and coming up with, this is what is going to keep this company chugging along and doing well for us. Because if you don't find that, you could be getting yourself into trouble with that individual stock. Some people are just want to go up there and read the SSG, but that doesn't give you that information. And so that's why I try to, we had a presentation within the club for doing a 5-minute stock presentation. And Ken Cavula put that on in a ticker talk. And I took the meat and potatoes of that and put it into a presentation for the club. Because that helps people to really zero in on what things are important and what they should be looking for. And the other thing is knowing when your stock is not meeting the fundamentals, is not doing what you originally thought it was going to do. And that may mean going back to the original SSG. So don't throw that away. Keep that original SSG so that you can go back and look at it from time to time and say, okay, still doing it, or nah, it's not, and we could do better, and, you know, let's look at challenging. And so those are things I think that are important things to keep within the meeting.
How long did you feel like you started to do outside research? Because I know for a lot of beginner investors and better investing members, the SSG is already a huge feat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's even a smaller group who know how to productively do research outside of the SSG. Most of them are presenters.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are the ones that end up teaching at the Better Investing National Convention. But it's not a lot of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's even right now something that I'm focusing on learning how to do beyond the SSG. So when did you kind of get it? Because, you know, the mastery of SSG is one thing, but like you mentioned, CFRA, even navigating the company website, looking at company presentations, knowing what to look at that looming document called a 10K, and some people have the courage to look at a 10Q, you know. And if you don't know what any of those things are, don't worry, because I just learned them last year. when did you start to, at what I'm going to call, go above and beyond in terms of researching?
Probably, again, 3, maybe 4 years in, my SSGs that I was presenting just weren't, people were cutting them apart. At that time, we had like the senior directors standing there and you know, taking kind of apart what you were looking at. And I was listening to when they did it, and they were talking about some other things. And then I found out that you can access all this stuff through the library, that there are a lot of libraries, county libraries and regional libraries, that you can get this information from for free. And free is great. And, you know, now even with the SSG, you can also go, there's a little button, and it's called research. And you don't have to even leave
the SSG.
You
don't even have to leave.
You hit that little button, go to one of your selections, and zap, it opens up another page, and you're right there. And so it's not difficult. But another thing is, if your library doesn't offer Value Line and CFRA and Morningstar, bug everybody that you know that's in better investing to go call them up or visit them in person when they open up and say, our group really needs this. Please offer it. Because if your librarians don't know that there's a whole audience out there that wants something, they're not going to go pursue it.
I mean, I'm just having so many thoughts in my head, just even about, you know, us as a chapter, sometimes we can get into the year, you know, doing the same program over and over. But I just had this thought, you know, just one class called Connecting the Dots.
Mm-hmm.
I taught some, like, early career students yesterday. And instead of a PowerPoint, well, I did a PowerPoint the first 2 weeks. But then yesterday I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do a live walkthrough of the site. You know, we were able to provide them Better Investing memberships, multi-year memberships, students of color, so that they could really have the time to learn this over time.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 30 minutes just on the research tab,
yeah.
You know, and so it just came to my mind, just even a little session called Connecting the Dots, because, anybody that really joined BI in the 90s or before, they were used to actually using the Value Line and doing it by hand. And then when Toolkit came, you had to actually put the numbers in yourself. So we know how the lines are created.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pull up the SSG now, you know, the biggest struggle is realizing you're not looking at a price chart.
Yep.
You know, you're looking at a graphical representation of the income statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I pulled up the annual data, And then I also pulled up a, when you go to research, you go to financial statements on Morningstar and literally connected the dots. This is where those dots came from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that, but it, again, it requires time. It requires a real interest. It requires patience, but it definitely can be done.
Well, the thing is too, to keep practicing them. The more you do, the easier it's going to become, and then the time won't seem so consuming. You know, keep the number of stocks you're looking at to a reasonable number. I think that's where a lot of people have a time constraint with it. They take on too many stocks at one time, and then they just can't keep track of all of them. Take on a reasonable number, and you know, the more you do, the more you practice. And like I said, there's no risk in doing an SSG. A good friend of mine who's on the Bible board, she said she will sit and listen to what we call them, the talking heads, the people on the nightly news that are, you know, oh, yes, this is the greatest stock since sliced bread. And she'll just run SSGs on the things that they talk about. And most of them, she said, no, thumbs down. But just do that. I think for people just starting out, that's a great experience to just listen to some of these business shows and just start running SSGs on them and see. It doesn't have to be perfect. You know, it you can even just take the numbers that are in the analyst consensus and plug those in and see how those work out until you become more experienced with it. But you're not going to become more experienced until you do it.
Yeah, and that to me is the number one cure for the judgment phobia that a lot of people have. You do have to just make a judgment. And when you look at it, the line should be up straight and parallel before you even put a judgment in. So the first judgment is, did I move forward? Or is it a waste of time?
The SSG, if you do not pick a quality company, the SSG will tell you this is great when it's not. And a lot of people don't realize that it will, you know, give you the exact wrong information because you've picked something where the lines are just looking like a roller coaster rather than up straight and parallel. So you're defeating yourself.
Right. What Bob Shaw said on Saturday, garbage in is garbage out.
Yep.
Yeah. So you have to at least have at least a yes and no. You know, we used to call it the barbed wire fence. If the lines are not up straight and parallel, just don't even move forward.
Nope.
I want to get to some fundamental books that you may have read throughout your learning about investing. I know that the D.C. Regional Chapter of Better Investing has a monthly book discussion, which really features a lot of great books. Talk to us about some key books that you read that you would recommend to other investors, even either experienced or beginner investors, and then also the format of the monthly book discussion that your chapter holds.
I was telling someone before this, I like the Susie Orman books just in terms of learning about money and learning to be able to go into yourself and say, you know, because before you start investing, you have to know, how do I manage money? How do I, what kind of assets do I have versus my liabilities? What's my spending like? And that type of thing before you can even take on investing. And so those were important to me. I looked at the different things that are available on Investopedia. Is a good site for getting book names. We are, speaking of the book club, next month, it's the second Tuesday in June, we are going to have, let's get it here, get it right, Tage Tracy as a guest speaker on our book club, and his book, How to Read a Financial Report and Get Better Information Out of It. And it talks about, you know, you talked about before that 10K and 10Q, and those are the financial reports on a company. And if you don't know how to read them, if you don't know what you're looking at, as well as, you know, a cash report, cash flow report, then you're not really understanding how the company operates. And that's just as important as are the lines up straight and parallel. But we've had some excellent, excellent books on. What usually happens is one of the members of the club will take on and do notes for the book so that people will not feel, oh, I didn't get to read the book. I can't participate in the discussion. And that's far from true. Most of the people do an excellent job when it's their turn to do notes. And then everybody gets to join in and feel really comfortable talking about it. But we've, you know, people can go to the BI website for the June, and please join us.
Yes, I just put it in the chat so that people could have the link to the local event page of the DC Regional Chapter of Better Investing. Yes, that, and you have, is it one model club or two model clubs?
We currently have two model clubs. Mm-hmm. The second one, the first one is in Northern Virginia, and the second, we've always felt like we do have part of Maryland as our regional chapter, and we don't want them to feel left out. So in 2017, we're able to start up a second model club that was meeting over in Rockville Library and is virtual as well right now, and we'll hopefully be meeting again there as well.
Any encouraging words or action items you want to leave and or encourage beginner investors and new Better Investing members to do?
Well, the first thing is, I think I can speak for almost all of us that not being professional investors, we pretty much started this journey with zero knowledge and have learned as a group together. And to join in clubs and join your local chapter, because I learned so much more being a member of a club, being a member of the chapter, working my way up through the different offices, you just gain such a greater perspective, and you're able to join in the discussions and not feel that you're lacking in knowledge to do that. And that's important to just start. And you can start very small. Like I said, I started with what they call the drip funds, just buying fractions of shares in a company that was local that I knew something about and was doing well. And now I have over 400 shares of the company because it just keeps growing with the dividends. But, you know, don't limit yourself to starting this whole journey because, you know, even if you just have a small amount to start with, or if you just want to start it for fun, if you just want to say, oh, let me just do this and see where it gets me on a piece of paper, and it might surprise you.
Well, you are surprising us tonight. And we said before the program started that this was going to be one of the very best interviews ever. And I say that, I want to just remind our listeners, if you just joined in and you have absolutely no idea what we're talking about or who we're talking to, you are listening to Better Investing podcast entitled hashtag My Investing Story. And Ione and I are excited tonight to have Cheryl Patterson share her story. She got involved with Better Investing in 2007, and she just took us through her journey, but not just her journey. She also took us through the DC chapter experience, which I have to say, sitting with Dione, I did also participate watching over her shoulder in the phenomenal information that was shared and actually gave us some ideas that hopefully under Ione's leadership we will look at implementing. But I took some notes, Cheryl. I took some notes, so let me share a couple of my notes so we can make sure that those who joined us a little late, I really enjoyed the book. And for those who are listening on podcasts, there were a lot of books, information shared, a lot of resources shared, so you may not have the benefit of looking at the links inside the chat. So we do want to just kind of recap a couple of things that you talked about. And thank you so much, Ione, for sharing those links in the chat. One of them actually deals with going to Susie Arman and just checking out some of the resources that she has. We're not promoting buying anything, so let me make very clear that we understand that. But what we're sharing is resources that you can check out. One of the resources that you can check out that was shared on Amazon is the book, and I have it here, How to Read Financial Reports, and the author's name was Robert Ringing. Is that?
No, it's Tage, T-A-G-E, and John Tracy.
Okay, John, you heard that. So those of you listening on the podcast in the future, you got that resource. And also, we want to also encourage you to go to betterinvesting.org and look at participating in the 90-day free membership if you're not currently a member. And also, we want to also encourage you to go to investopedia.com. Also, just repeating some of the information, the link for the program that you're hosting in June, Ione did post that. And
it can be found. You just go to betterinvesting.org, and in the search, just type in DC. It'll take you right to the DC chapter's webpage. And on their local events, you'll see a whole list of their upcoming model club meetings for both model clubs and also the Money Matters book discussion.
Thank
and
you.
All books, I'm sure, can be checked out at the library.
So, yes. Oh, thank you for the library. Yes, and thank you also, Cheryl, for mentioning about the resources that you may not see in your library that you should ask for them and get your whole group to ask individually your local librarian to consider investing in those resources. And all of this information, like Ione said, is also shared on the Better Investing website. We do want to mention, before we wrap up, we do want to mention also and invite everybody to join us at the National Better Investing Convention that's going to be held on October 21st, 2021 in Dallas, Texas. And tonight, if you are listening live, oh, thank you so very much, Michelle, for the Better Investing Financial Empowerment Seminar that we are hosting live this time in October on the 23rd on that Saturday, and it is free. You can go to Eventbrite and you can register, and you can also do the same with going to Better Investing to register for the Better Investing Think event. So, Cheryl, my last couple of comments, Cheryl, was do not wait to invest. Just start. And you just kept saying just start. So I just want to just remind everybody, don't wait. We had some phenomenal conversation about DRIPS for those of you that may be familiar, the Dividend Reinvestment Plan. But start with a very small amount. And that's really one of my major takeaways, Cheryl, from the comments that you've made tonight. And so we are tagging a lot of people on this show, and we're also sharing it. We want to encourage all of our listeners, please, please, please continue to comment, like, and share this program. And like Ione shared, if you're interested in finding an area near you, go to the betinvesting.org website and just put whatever your local area is in the search, and that information will come up. So Ione, with you and Cheryl, if any last comments, then we can go ahead and wrap up.
Well, I just want to say I attended your program at the National Convention back in 2019, and it's a wonderful program. So please, people, if you're going to Dallas, go and attend Ione and Anne's program, because it is well worth your time and investment. And it was so inspiring what you do with the people in your program, and especially the young people. I just think it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. I know Ione is delicious. If everybody could see her beam, let me spotlight Ione's video. She is just beaming from ear to ear, especially when you talked about the youth. And I can say on behalf of Dan McNeil and Ione McNeil, I cannot say enough, Ione, how proud we are of you, having been one of those youth in the room from age 8, 9, 10. And so we want to encourage all of the parents and grandparents. This is what it looks like when your family is involved with Better Investing. And you just continue to invest. Oftentimes we think about investing money, but we're talking about investing in lives. That's really what this experience is about. And the way everybody has embraced us all over the organization, it has just really been, and it still is, a phenomenal experience. And that's why we created the financial empowerment experience for those individuals who have no idea what in the world are we talking about. This is for you. And, of course, that's why we do this program every Wednesday night, to encourage you, please join us here so that you can hear the actual live journey. Before we started a program tonight, Cheryl and I were talking. I was saying, you know, for those of us that have been involved for a very long time, oftentimes we don't remember. We really don't remember how we started, when we started, where we were back then. Back then could have been a year, 5, 10, 20, 30, and for some of us, it may be 40 or 50 years ago. And so we've gotten so far removed from that place. We want to go back and share the stories of how we all got involved. And I really appreciate Ione's interview, when she will always ask the question, okay, take us back to your first memory, your first childhood, and for you to share where you came from, Cheryl, when you talked about having the, you know, government control your future. It's not what you wanted, still impacting you in a positive way today. And because of that, you've changed your lives of so many people, starting with your own family. And so we really appreciate that. Ione, any closing remarks from you, and then we can just wrap up. Thank you both.
Well, Cheryl, I just want to say that, and thank you. I did not know that you saw us. I guess that was 2019 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We put that on to be a stepping stone to Bink.
Mm-hmm.
As you may know, with Saturday, the Saturday of Bink, it's always a free day or a public day. But depending on where people come in the doors at, a lot of the Bink programming may be over their heads. And so we generally put this on to help them get the smaller steps right,
mm-hmm.
and build the confidence to see how valuable the Better Investing membership is. And, and just help bridge the gap. So thank you for sharing that. Again, I didn't know you were there, but I'm glad you were impressed with the program. And, you know, we'll always continue to do it for as long as we can, because I really do think that it helps people see the whole variety of BI and really all it has to offer. And with that, I just want to thank you so much for saying yes. Thank you so much for being a BI volunteer, from listening to you on the 4Bits volunteer training to all of your years of service for the BI DC regional chapter. I mean, you know, a lot of times we serve in our local capacity and we may not know of one another, of each other. I'm just so happy and grateful you said yes to be a guest on My Investing Story. And I hope that this episode will, when you share it to your membership, it will help them get a better understanding of the work and the value of the chapter and all the chapter really does to service the Better Investing members, both individual and investment clubs. So thanks again for your time.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. I appreciate it.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right. So
thank you, and good night.
All right, so we're going to wrap up. We want to also say thank you to the volunteers that helped make this possible. So Michelle, Marshall, and Doretha, and everybody else who added value, thank you. And like I only said good night, and we'll see you next week, same time, same place. And if you are up for the challenge tonight, there is a ticker talk, and it starts at 8:30. Eastern time. You can go to betterinvesting.org and you can get all of the details there and you can register. But until next week, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, we will see you then right here, same time, same place, hashtag my investing story. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Goodbye.